being raised from the dead, suddenly life comes into his body, and he's not just an eternal man anymore, he's an immortal man. The first of his kind that's ever been. Wow. You think that was a trip? Think that was an intense physical experience as well as emotional experience? And then he raises, leads all of those captive out of Sheol and begins to ascend to the Father, bringing all of those people into heaven. Heaven's going to be populated with men. Never happened before. Think that was intense? So there was a really, really, really wonderful side also coming. Anyway, back to my thought. These words are true. Thank you. These words are true. For someone just looking at it, it was like you had this thought. Jesus said, in the world you shall have trouble, but be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. A person not knowing anything about what that said, I had never thought about before, they might simply say, well, great, Jesus, what about me? You know, I mean, I'm glad everything's working out for you there, buddy, but what about me? Just never looked at it that way before. And John, that's John's gospel, John, somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 plus years later, gave a very succinct answer to the question. Think about it now. They tell us John was one of the youngest of the apostles, but nobody really knows exactly how old he was. Somewhere around 20, we'll say. Which, when Jesus was crucified and resurrected and ascended to the Father, and then they tell us he wrote his letters in the probably early 90s AD. So this man had been walking in this stuff for 60 plus years. He was 80 plus years old when he wrote this epistle that we're fixing to look at. Over in 1 John, if you will look with me, 1 John 5:4. Remember the question, well, good, Jesus, but what about me? What about me? And John writes and says, for everyone, say everyone, everyone having been born out from God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, having overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one overcoming the world if not the one believing? The next word in the Greek text is hati. We talked about this many times. The primary definition for hati is because. It could certainly, because that. There's some kind of causative relationship to this preposition, right? And yet, often, it's translated simply, that. And I'm not saying that's, quote, wrong. But if you leave out the because, you leave off that causative effect in the idea. And if you say this that way, that everyone, having been born out from God, overcomes the world, and this is the victory, having overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one overcoming the world, I mean, if not the one believing? Because Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. You know, you don't just believe that he is. You are a believer. You are believing because you know that he is. Hallelujah. And John said, you know, answering the guy's question, the hypothetical guy saying, what about me? There's your answer. Everyone, having been born out from God, overcomes the world. As I'm thinking about that, we touched on it last week when we were talking about holy. If I remember what we said holy means. It's not a, system of religious thinking. The word hagios means designated or special, designed for a particular purpose. Hagiazo, the verb, is translated, I think it's 39 times in the King James, sanctified, and that means set apart. So that's this word, right? And I was thinking about that from last week, and I think we even alluded to 1 Peter 2, 9. So John said, everybody having been born out from God overcomes the world, and this is what overcomes the world, our faith. Peter, writing in his first letter, said that you are a chosen genos, the Greek word. Genos is where we get our Latin word genus from. And genus means, Jill and I were talking about that. That was her thing. She liked zoology and biology and botany and all that stuff. That Greek word, genus, is where the Latin word comes from, genus, which in biology, zoology, botany, that means, was it phylum, isn't that the word? That subset. It's a group, a kind of people that have shared characteristics or lineage. It could be a race of people. Actually, it can be a species that's unlike another species. It's like when Paul talked about ketesis, the creation, said we are a new creation. You have the old man and you have the new man. The old man is just a man. The ketesis, the new creature, is not just a man. The new creature is a child of God, a son or daughter of God. Become new. We are made. Remember I said when Jesus was there in the pit, life came into him. He became an immortal man, right? The first of his kind. Shall I say it that way? We have taken a step in that direction.